gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to episode 11 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa. And this week is going to be the follow-up to last week's episode that was all about what it takes to be a winner. In this case, we're going to talk about what it takes to be a loser, aka getting the 101 overall pick. So I'm going to go through the two different methods that it takes in order to get the 101, both wins and max points forced, and we will see what it takes in order to do that. Of course, we're going to be using the same league as we were using last week, so that's going to be our 12 teams start 10 with basically bog standard scoring settings with 4 points per passing touchdown. The most common type of league in Dynasty, and if you need to, you can work on translating this to your other leagues that have different scoring settings, different roster values, all sorts of things like that. I'm going to talk about in percentages where I can, and talk about in raw values for things that don't need to be converted, things like wins. Every single league has the same number of weeks, and so you just need the same number of wins in order to be a top team or a bottom team or whatever. And as I will do from last week, I'm going to be comparing to the average in when I'm comparing those percentages. That way you can more easily identify in your leagues, like, okay, we score around this many points, so I only need to go up or down a certain number of percentage. Before we get into it, I want to talk about our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs. At Ultimate Autographs, you can enter in for live prize breaks in order to get all sorts of authentic signed sports memorabilia. Go over to Signed Shit, that's signed sh.it, and there you can sign up for all sorts of amazing sports memorabilia, all the kinds of stuff that Mike was showcasing on our NFL Draft live stream. He got off of Ultimate Autographs. So go to Signed Shit, that's signed sh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout to get 15% off. So what does it take to be a loser? In order to be a loser, you need to win about 2 games over the course of the season. So on average, the worst team in a 12-team league wins 2 games, and those are probably just kind of fluke wins against some other random team in the league. But that's a good number to shoot for, is maximum of 2. If you're going into the season, you're projected to get like 4 wins or something like that. That's way too much. You do not want to have 4 wins. That's going to get you way higher. You're not going to be at the 101. And so you want to be aiming for 2 wins or even less. Ideally, you go into the season, you are not projected to win any of your matchups, and the only wins that you get are flukes. The only way to confirm that you are not going to win a week is to bench every single player. And a lot of our leagues have anti-tanking rules that make it so you must start a complete lineup and you can't like purposely just start players who are fifth string wide receivers unless and bench your number one wide receivers, things like that. So what you need to do is to analyze, hey, how many wins am I going to get? If you are going to get fewer than 2, and ideally you get all the way down to 0, you need to think about, if you're fewer than that, you're doing good. If you're more than that, you need to think about, how am I going to sell my players in order to get fewer points? Whether that's selling for players that are injured going into the season. An example of that would be making your tight end TJ Hockenson. Last season, the quarterback to get was Kyler Murray. Can I trade some of my players away for picks? Like, having a lack of depth can be really helpful. So a lot of those guys that might be worth second round picks, like a lot of people in the recent environment have been holding on to their first round picks a lot. but can you hold on to second round picks? Can you make it so that way you are taking your second round pick, selling them, and then you don't have any depth? That can allow you, as the season goes on, you hit bye weeks, you get injuries. Now all of a sudden your best lineup is players that are in that. If this was a different league, you might be like, you might be tanking if it, like, you started these players. But if you don't have anyone better, you don't have anyone better to start. And so then you're able to have a really bad team that is also not going to hopefully spike high enough to be able to accidentally win you a week. Because if you accidentally win more than two times, you probably aren't getting the 101. And you need to be doing that right from week one. If you have a team that you think is middling and say you go 3-3 before you decide to tear it down, you have already lost the 101. You are not there. You need to start at it right from the beginning. So you need to be realistic with your team and understand that, hey, if I'm middle of the road, I need to decide right now before the season starts whether I'm going to try and get the 101 or not. You might be able to try and squeak into playoffs. That's your other option. But if you think it's a kind of an outside chance that you're going to even make playoffs, if you don't think you're going to be able to hit that 7-win threshold in order to make it, that's something that you really need to reevaluate and say, all right, I need to try and get myself the 101. So what does that look like in the points force category? Overall points force, the number one seed only scores 76% of the average. That is significantly lower than even the number two team. The number two team scores about 84%. So there's definitely a huge, hey, everyone is diving towards the bottom, and the number one team does it significantly more than everyone else. So they score so far fewer points than everyone else from a points force perspective. And then we can also look at it from a max points force perspective. From max points force, they're scoring about 83% of the average. So even there, they're doing significantly worse in overall team structure than the 102. The 102 is 89%. So that's a huge margin, and that number is going to be extremely significant in terms of trying to get yourself down to that 101. The people that are earning the 101s with their teams are doing good jobs of right from the get-go making sure that their team is in position to not score points and not have point scorers on their team. They want to make sure that they are rostering players who are putting up consistent zeros, who are going to be injured, who have some other kind of value to their roster. Maybe they're selling players that are scoring points. They're dropping players they can't sell, things like that. So that's the kind of stuff that you need to be doing in order to earn the 101. And that difference is pretty stark. In our scoring settings that we've been talking about, we know that the average number of points scored per week is right around that 150 mark. Well, on average, these 101 teams, they're scoring 125 points. So they're scoring 25 points less, and that's still getting them two wins over the course of the season. I have seen some teams in my leagues where they end up consistently scoring like only 100 points. Like that would be like 33% less than average. And those teams, they never end up winning a week, or maybe they win one single week because there's another team that was also tanking just as hard as them. So that's the level that you need to go to in order to earn the 101. But the important thing to look at with all this is how hard it is to be the 101 when you have even just a few weeks where you weren't playing for it. So if we look at the difference between the 101 and average, that difference we saw was 25 points per week. All right. So if you take 4 weeks to decide you're going to try and tank down to the 101, that means you have to make up 100 points. 100 points, when you're talking about max points force over the course of the season, that 100 points is 1/13th of the entire season's points output for that 101 team. In order to make up that 100 points, let's just pretend your 101 team has been scoring 125 points, because that's average, and you were scoring 150 points on average. You spent 4 weeks increasing over that 101 team. You need to bring yourself all the way down to even less. So you had a decent team if you're an average team, and then you decide to go for 101. So realistically, you probably can sell off 30 points pretty quickly. Well, if you sell off 30 points per week pretty quickly, and you say, I am now worse than that team, you are worse than them. You're scoring 120 points per week. But to make up that 100, you would need 20 weeks over the course of the season. So you need to drop yourself down another 5. You drop yourself down another 5, now you're scoring 115 points per week. And you're gaining 10 points on them over each week after week. When you get to the end of the season, you are now perfectly tied for the 101, assuming all the averages stay still, everything like that. So when you have to score 10 points less than the team that is already tanking as hard as possible in your league. Now, not only do you have to do that, but they can continue to play defense too. They already have the lead. If they see you're scoring 10 points fewer than them, they only need to go down 10 points. And it ends up becoming a race to the bottom where they have such a significant advantage from that 100 points that they gained on you from the beginning of the season that they're able to continue to stay ahead by not even having to keep up with you. You have to go so significantly far ahead of where they were in order to beat them for the 101 that 101 becomes unfeasible. You realistically, if you end up going at the beginning of the season, you're trying to compete and you end up deciding after even just 4 weeks that, hey, this is not my year, I need to tear it down, you're going to end up with 102, 103 at best. Trying to get the 101 is something that you need to make the determination of before the season. Another edge that you can utilize when you're talking about your teams that are at the 101 is those teams are even less likely to utilize their waiver budget. So I talked last week how the top teams utilize more waiver budget over the course of the year. And you can use the flip side to great effect on your rebuilding teams, the ones that are aiming for 101s. You can sell that waiver budget to the top teams. You can use and spend it and then immediately sell the players. But a lot of teams that are going for the 101s, I know I've done this. You set up your team for the 101 and then you kind of check out from the league for a little bit. You aren't as aggressive on the waiver wire. And what we see from the data is that happens a lot. So you feel free to utilize that waiver budget to try and get things done. You got a trade where somebody's hemming and hawing and you know you're going for the 101, toss $15 extra of fab in there, toss $20. Chances are they aren't even going to use it, but it's something that you weren't going to use anyway either. And so you're giving them something a little extra. Or potentially, all right, I've got my team and it's a bunch of trash players. Like, I don't really care about any of them. I get to the beginning of the season and I can do a complete overhaul after week one. I can get all of those guys that are those initial waiver wire targets. And now I have a roster that I'm able to try and sell to the other managers in my league. Usually those guys aren't going to be major impact players. They aren't going to affect your points force too much, especially if you were already at the point where you're aiming for 101, you're significantly worse than the league. You have a little bit of buffer room to play with to try and snag some of these players and then try to flip them for future picks. Even getting like a couple fourths or even thirds out of your waiver wire fab just by blowing it all in week one, if you know you weren't going to use it anyway, is a huge benefit to you. That way you're able to get a little bit of extra draft capital, give yourself some maneuverability when the draft comes around, and be able to take advantage of the fact that yeah, I don't need to hold on to any of this for later in the season. You don't need the top guys when you get to week 14 and some player goes down, some nobody appears off of some NFL team's practice squad and is going to explode for 100 yards next week. You don't need to spend your waiver budget then. Spend it early. Make sure that you get your players or utilize it as trade fodder. Utilize it to get some extra deals done, to get some points off your team that maybe you weren't able to get off earlier. I have two other pieces of data that I want to talk about related to this that I found kind of interesting looking over this past week. Now, you wouldn't think that this is a big factor, but it's statistically significant enough, I thought I would mention it. So one of the fields that I look at in my data set just happens to be a roster ID. Now, the roster ID is just a number assigned on the back end of Sleeper that just identifies each team individually. And the way they're numbered is team number one's the first one to join the league. Number two's the second, third, fourth, the order they join the league, essentially. And what was kind of interesting was I noticed this past week that the roster IDs are actually significant in terms of the ordering of them. So the roster ID, the average one that ends up winning the league is the lowest number. So the teams that joined the league first. The one that is the highest number happens to be the one that is in 11th place. So not the 101. The 101 happens to be the fourth lowest number. And then the ones that are like in the middle, they end up getting spread out between second through fourth and eighth through 10th. But the ones that are towards the end, in addition to being 11th, are also the teams that are in fifth and sixth place. So what we see is that a lot of leagues, the teams that fill the league at the end end up being the teams that fall into what I would call the worst spots to be. They would end up being fifth and sixth. So in the playoffs, they make the playoffs and then they lose out in the first round. They end up being the teams that don't make the 101. They get down to 102. And the good teams are the ones that are either winning the whole league, so they finish number one, or they finish in all the way down at the 112. There is one exception to this, and it is the teams that finish 8th and 9th. So those are the second and third lowest roster IDs, which I know I'm talking about this roster ID thing in terms of the order that you join leagues, but 8th and 9th ends up being the second and third lowest. So what does that mean to me? It means there's some really aggressive managers who are out there trying to join some leagues. So commissioners are going to create a league, and a lot of commissioners are really good, and they know what they're doing. They're going to win, and they're going to win the league overall. Same with a lot of these really aggressive guys. They're really good. There's a reason they're in a lot of leagues. There's also a lot of people that are in a lot of leagues and they play to probably try and win, and then they screw it up. They do it wrong and they end up missing the playoffs. They finish 8th or 9th and they just end up totally whiffing. And then there's another set where they understand, okay, I'm a good manager. I understand I can't win year one. My edge is I end up going for a rebuild right out of the gate, and I finish with the 101. But there's this weird thing where you can tell a clear difference that there at least are some managers at the beginning of a league that do really well, and there's some managers that join right when a league is almost done filling, and those ones are really bad. At least on average. I'm not saying that, like, if you end up being one of the last ones to join a league that you're going to be a really bad manager or whatever. But I think this has a little bit to learn over into our philosophies. The best dynasty managers are ones that are going to pick an idea and stick with it. They aren't going to get caught in the middle. They aren't going to freeze and not do anything. So what do we see? We see that when a league is created, the people that go and join the league first are in the positions we want them to be in. They are in first, they're in last, and yeah, we have some of the not good guys that join in the league immediately and they end up finishing 8th and 9th. Okay. But first and last place are dominated by those managers that join the league early. And then the managers that join at the end are in the positions we don't want to be in. They're in 5th, they're in 6th, they're in 11th. Like, they didn't get to the 101 because they took too long to get there. They made the playoffs in 5th and 6th, but they didn't have the firepower to win. And I think that is something that we can use to help us understand how we should be playing in Dynasty. We can understand from this that, yeah, this number, it means nothing. This roster ID number is literally just something that a sleeper uses on their back end. But this number tells us that the more convicted dynasty managers are where we want to be in our dynasty leagues. So if you find yourself constantly stuck where you're making playoffs and not getting the first round bye, you find yourself constantly missing the 101. I know I've found myself missing the 101 a lot in the past couple of years. You just need to be more convicted. You need to go in earlier. You need to be willing to make those hard decisions before anybody else has. And I know it's easy to say that and to hear that. I've heard that plenty of times from all sorts of other places, whether it's here on South Harmon, whether it's different Dynasty podcasts, that you need to evaluate where you are before the season and make sure that you know where you want your team to be. But being convicted on that and sticking to it is a hallmark of a good Dynasty manager. And somebody that's joining a new league, what are they going to do? If they are convicted that, yes, I'm going to join a new league, they're going to be one of the first teams in it. They're going to be looking. They're going to find a new league that is created, join it early, and they're going to make a determination of where their team is during that startup draft or just in future years and go, this is where my team is going to be placed. And I found that to be really interesting. I just accidentally averaged out that roster ID column because it happened to be in the middle with the number of wins, the waiver budget use, all the other stuff I've been talking about these past two episodes. And I just noticed that trend that, hey, number one was the least. Number 12 was also pretty low, but man, that 5 and 6, they were extremely high. And that's where you can sometimes find little weird nuggets that confirm some sort of bias. Like, it doesn't need to be a huge confirmation bias. It just needs to be a little bit. It just needs to be, hey, I have this general idea of people have their philosophy wrong. If you're listening to me, you're here for the data and talking about how I'm using that to bring into my philosophy. And a lot of these philosophies that I'm thinking of are things other people have thought of. I've shouted out Scott Connor here before. I think he's one of the best dynasty minds that exists out there in the space. And what you need to do is listen to these people. Listen to me. Listen to Mike and Adam on 40 Chess. They talk about some of these same concepts there of making sure that you are going in early to decide your direction of your team, that you need to decide before week one in August that, yes, I want to be the 101 and sell off all of your assets. Things like that where you are being a convicted dynasty manager and you are making decisions that aren't going to cause you to end up in the middle. If you wait multiple weeks into the season to decide that I'm tearing down my team, what did I tell you earlier? You are not going to be the 101. You're going to be too far behind on max points force. You're going to be too far behind on the number of wins. And so you just aren't going to be the 101. Sure, you can get yourself down in the 102 or 103 range, but you cannot get down into that 101 range without being convicted before the season starts. And if you're stuck in the 103 range, why didn't you get yourself down to 101 beforehand? It's because you thought you had a chance when you didn't. And sure, there will be some teams that get to the 103 because you had a chance if your team stayed healthy and you got hit by the injury bug horribly. Like last year, if you had a team that was relying on Nick Chubb early in the season and he got hurt week one, so there you go, you're done. Like that's the sort of thing that, sure, that's a team that can end up at the 103. But all of your other teams that are tanking, they need to get the 101. That's what you should be playing for. Getting the 104, the 103, even the 102, like, why do you bother? The only reason to end up with one of those is if there's a team that has tanked themselves so hard that they have actually lost value doing so. If they sold their assets for less than they're worth in order to try and tank even harder than you, then it's fine to lose the 101. But you need to be convicted before the season starts in order to actually earn the 101 and earn it without hemorrhaging value off of your team. As I mentioned earlier, even just waiting 4 weeks, you have to beat the 101 team now by 10 points per week, which is an extremely hard thing to do when you're talking that your entire point total is already less than the rest of the league by 20%. You're only scoring 80% compared to the rest of the league. So that sort of thing is what you need to be analyzing. And this roster ID thing, it's just weird to me that it's a, hey, I have this random piece of data that should mean nothing, but yet it does. I'm seeing that the way to be a better dynasty manager is to be convicted. So that's going to be my main takeaway for this week. Be a convicted dynasty manager. As we get closer to August, you're going to get back into your teams and really start evaluating them. Really take a look at, do I have the chance to be the one seed or the two seed? If you don't, how close are you? Is it the kind of team that you're thinking is probably sixth best in this league? If so, it might be worth just tearing it all down now in August, so that way you don't have to deal with that sort of, oh man, I'm at the 104 and it's like 8 weeks in, there's no way I'm going to be getting an earlier pick at this point in the season. So that's the sort of thing that you need to be looking at, because as I mentioned a couple episodes ago, you want to be the 101 or 102, and if you aren't that, it's probably better to just reload accrue value until you can get to be that 101 or 102, because those bye weeks are just that important in order to continue to make money in your leagues. The only argument against that is the fact that on average, you make money as long as you're making playoffs every single year. But even that is difficult. You have to be really good at constantly retooling and still making playoffs year after year after year. And so that's the sort of thing that if you can do that reliably, then sure, go for it. But I think constantly making sure that you are on top of the value game and the point scoring game, that's going to be really difficult to do, and something that you would need to be a top tier dynasty manager in order to be able to pull off. That's all I have for this week. So as always, make sure you're out there and you stay sharp and grind that edge.